Anandakoti, Vaishnava, Rindigajai. Namacharya, Shidaharidas, Thakur, Rindigajai. Premse, Goho, Shri Krishna, Chaitanya. Ravana Chinanda Shidwaita Garata Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindigajai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Kobagavata Sayam Kunda Radha Kunda Kirigo Vran Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturam Kijai Navididam Kijai Jagadatha Sami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shrimati Lasidevi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindigajai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Okay. So, Omaganat, Timiranda Shah, Gananjana Shilakaya. Chakshur and Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So we offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of our spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has so kindly opened our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while we were blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So we're going to start off this evening's discussion by reading from the first text of the 17th chapter. The 17th chapter is called The Visions of Faith. And the reason I picked this particular topic is that I've had some discussions with people lately about faith. What does it mean to believe? If you believe in something, are you automatically saved? And what constitutes faith? How do you get faith? What is faith in different aspects of the material world? Everybody is faithful in this world because we have to have faith in something. You know, your faith that if you walk on the steps, you know, you're not going to fall down. You have, everybody lives by faith. That's what Krishna says. And then, what are the results of spiritual faith? And how does one get spiritual faith? So these are some of the topics we'd like to talk about this evening and have you all participate. And it may be quite lengthy, so if it gets too long, we'll continue next week. So I just want to see how it goes. It's a participatory activity. So I'll sit down and read, and then after I read, I stand up. And I get you all to participate. So you're all on the spot. So you have to hear. Because if things are too static, you will blank out. There's a, if you study brain anatomy, neurophysiology, you'll see that the senses that are not stimulated completely, they blank out after some time. We can show you how to experience that, but that's not the purpose of this class. So we're going to try to keep everything as exciting and interactive as possible. I know I'm always very excited with philosophy, but it's my challenge to make philosophy exciting for others. I mean, I can just get excited just by reading Bhagavad Gita and just like start rolling in ecstasy, but it's not that everybody has that same experience, so I'm trying to transmit my excitement by having everyone participate. Okay, so we'll read the first text. I'll read the Sanskrit translation and Srila Prabhupada's commentary, the Bhaktivedanta commentary. Arjuna vacha ye shastra vidim utsrija yajante shatayan vitaha tesham nishta tuka krishna Satvam aho rajas tamaha. Arjuna inquired, O Krishna, what is the situation of those who do not follow the principles of scripture, but worship according to one's, to their own imagination? Are they in goodness, in passion, or in ignorance? So Srila Prabhupada explains that in the fourth chapter, a 39th verse, it is said that a person faithful to a particular type of worship gradually becomes elevated to the stage of knowledge and attains the highest perfectional stage of peace and prosperity. In the 16th chapter, it is concluded that one who does not follow the principles laid down in the scripture is called an asura or demon, and one who follows the scriptural injunctions faithfully is called a deva or demigod. Now, if one with faith follows some rules which are not mentioned in the scriptural injunctions, what is his position? This doubt of Arjuna's is to be cleared by Krishna. are those who create some sort of god by selecting a human being and placing their faith in him, worshipping in goodness, passion, or ignorance. There's actually a Bollywood movie about that. It's called Jadugar. Anyone seen that Bollywood movie? It's about a magician who became god. And then his son wanted to reveal to the world that he was just a cheat, so his son hired another magician. You should all see that Bollywood movie. So, did you see that movie? We'll show it some Sunday. Do such persons attain a perfectional stage of life? Is it possible for them to be situated in real knowledge and elevate themselves to the highest perfectional stage? Do those who do not follow the rules and regulations of the scripture, but who have faith in something and worship gods and demigods and men, attain success in their effort? Arjuna is putting these questions to Krishna. Okay, so these are the questions Arjuna has, and we'll be attempting to answer some of these questions in this discussion, lively discussion. First of all, we'll need a scribe that's going. First of all, we want to ask if any of you have an idea of a working definition of faith. What faith is, anyone? He's just going to start writing whatever you say. You'll all be graded on this later on. So, anybody have an idea? What's faith? Something you believe. Or something you believe. Okay. Okay. I think the title has to be real big when you're doing these things. The first thing we learn is you make the title of the page real big on the top so everybody knows what's happening. So any other ideas about faith? What's faith? Faith is belief based on past experience. That's interesting. Any other ideas about faith? Yeah. Belief based on understanding. Taking a shortcut. So, trust. Okay, trust. Okay, that's good. That's really good. We're getting somewhere. So anyone else about faith? Yeah.
Subtle expectation from subtle source instead of a gross
source. A subtle expectation. Okay, that's good. Some good things here. Any other questions? Any other points about faith? Yes.
Blind reasoning?
Blind reasoning. Okay, that's very good. Because that's a particular type of faith. There's blind faith and actually there's intelligent faith. So that what you're saying is true. There is a type of faith that's blind. Blind faith. Any other types of faith? Yeah.
Go. Hope in a future outcome.
Hope in a future outcome. That's, oh yeah, hope. Hopefulness. Hope in a future outcome. Any other one else? Otherwise I want to pose a question. Confidence, yeah, you're getting closer. That's good. Obviously, I'm getting to something. Confidence in something. Put something. Something. To speak Southern, so you can understand. Something. That's a Southern talk. Confidence in something. Okay, anyone else before we go ahead? Yeah. What's something sublime? That's good. That's what Prabhupada said. Actually, you're quoting Prabhupada there. Something sublime. Okay, so I want to pose a question. If I'm a criminal, and I'm not at this point, and I believe in the government, do I have faith in the government? All right, why don't we take a vote? Yes, no. No, yes. No, okay, she changed her vote to no. The majority was okay. So, faith means something more than just belief or something you believe. See, we're getting all these something you believes here, or hope, or some confidence in something, or something sublime. Faith means more getting close to what we see right here as a trust, right? Which is really interesting. We're talking about, you know, deep faith. So we're trying to define the word faith. So that's getting real close. So I'd like to give a verse You can flip that thing. From the Vedic literature, that defines faith in a really nice, deep way. And I'll give you the Sanskrit, but that doesn't make too much sense to most people. Faith actually means, it's a deep faith, full faith we're talking about, not just, you know, I have faith, the sun's going to come up tomorrow morning, and the sun will come up, most likely. Deep, full faith means that a trust that if you do something in accordance with that faith, then your goals will be accomplished in life. Now, we're not talking necessarily about spiritual faith. Because, you know, we have a faith. People may have faith that money will give us happiness, right? Does anyone have that faith here? Raise your hand. Okay. We got several people. I mean, let's be honest, you know. Money's not everything, but whatever is second is sure far behind, right? So we have that faith, you know, if we get money, we get everything. So that's like that, the verse that I just quoted, you know, trust, the sublime trust that if you get it, and if you follow that particular process, then everything will be accomplished. So that's what we're talking about. And Prabhupada did say, as Sadhvi quoted, it's something sublime. It's actually like a subtle experience. Sublime in this particular case means like a subtle experience. So then we need to ask ourselves, like, there's spiritual faith and material faith. So let's break it up into two different categories. Okay, spiritual and material faith. You're a good writer. You're hired. So spiritual and material faith. Let's just first talk about material faith. Where does material faith come from? Does anyone have any ideas? We're going to need... you can just go under there. Does anyone have any ideas where material faith comes from? What's that? It can come from experience. Put that down. But sometimes we have experiences and we don't develop trust or faith in something that happens over and over again. That's, of course, called the ascending process. So experience, where else can it come from?
Parents.
Yeah, that's experience. It's the same thing. You don't have to write that down. So all these things are true. Experience, knowledge, parents, and everything like that. But what's the metaphysical process that causes faith to develop in those circumstances? Does anyone have an idea? There's a metaphysical process. Metaphysical doesn't mean spiritual. Metaphysical means just something beyond the purview of our experience or our senses. There's a lot of things that are metaphysical that are not spiritual. Spiritual means something transcendental to the material world. Has anyone here heard of the three modes of nature? No? Okay. We need a refresher course. There's three modes of nature in this world. Goodness, passion, and what else? Ignorance. That's good. And these three modes, the faith in this material world comes from these experiences that you all mentioned. But it comes not just from the experience, but the acceptance of that experience with the subtle body. We have a gross body, which is this earth, water, fire, air, ether. And then we have a subtle body, which is what? Mind, intelligence, and the good old what? False ego. Good. Everyone's participating. Nice. This is good. You're all scholars. So, this false ego, mind, intelligence, false ego, sometimes the subtle body is called the heart of the living entity. And Srila Prabhupada said that one's faith, this is an important quote, one's faith is established in this world by the position of the heart that comes in contact with a particular mode of nature. Think about it for a second. The position of the heart. That means we have an experience, and that experience is transmitted through the nervous system to your little brain, or big brain, or bird brain. It's transmitted, and then the heart or the soul becomes conscious of that, and it affects the subtle body, and that causes one's faith to develop within this world. Very, very interesting. So that means an answer to Arjuna's question, which we posed at the beginning of class, that one's faith is of how many types in this world? With the three modes of nature, how many types of faith? Three, good. Oh, there's three. There's three types of faith. And in different types of faith, this is quite interesting, at least for me. I get excited when I hear about this thing. That in the modes of nature, one's particular faith is to be known by that mode. Not only is the person in the mode, but the faith is defined by that particular mode. And in each of those modes of nature, there's a worshipable deity, there's a process of austerity, there's a process of penance, and there's a process of sacrifices and charity in each of those modes of nature. So in other words, this faith not only deals with who you worship, but how you worship. We're talking about religion now, or spirituality. Not only in, you know, having faith in your country. Of course, that's also, you know, like a metaphysical concept. Having faith in your country, having faith in, just like, oh, today, of course, we want to wish everybody the Happy Independence Day. I forgot about that. So like in every country, Happy Independence Day. In India, it's Independence Day. So I just wanted to wish everybody Happy Independence Day. So we're going to tell you how to get independence later on in this whole discussion. So in every country, you have your national leaders, like we had our great heroes. Like in America, we have who? Who? George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, George Bush. Did I get something wrong? Oh, you guys. No, we have our national heroes. Oh, I thought I said George Bush. And then we may have some faith in them. Or even in, it's interesting, even in countries where abominable things happened, like in World War II in Germany, people had faith in Hitler. So you can have faith that actually is not part of a religious system, but is like a very, very deep trust that if you follow the person, getting back to the definition, then all your goals are accomplished. Okay. So let's talk about these different types of worshipable, let's say, entities in different modes of nature, and different types of sacrifices, charity, and penances in different modes of nature. And they're not necessarily all religious. Some of them are nationalistic. Some of them are just like voodoo, because that's a type of faith. In fact, I have one disciple who is a voodoo queen in New Orleans. And she tried to prevent Katrina, but it didn't work. Anyway. And unless you chant Hare Krishna, I will use voodoo on you too. So anyway, so different types of faith. Okay, so let's take, first of all, the object of faith. That is the worshipable entity or deity, for lack of a better word. So those who are in the mode of goodness. Now, of course, you're referring to the Bhagavad Gita. Some of you may know about this text. It was spoken by Krishna how many years ago? 5,004 years ago. No. Anyway, a little bit over 5,000. So those in the mode of goodness, anybody has an idea of who was worshipped by people in the mode of goodness? Which are material mode of goodness. Who was worshipped by people in the material mode of goodness? What? Demigods. Okay, let's go. Demigods. That means powerful people who are in charge of different aspects of the material creation. And people worship the demigods. And sometimes they're influenced by passion in their worship of the demigods. It's not pure goodness. They worship them for some material aggrandizement. And the demigods are very powerful entities. They are not gods, independent gods. Sometimes that is people from the outside of the Vedic culture may confuse or misunderstand and think that these demigods are gods and think that we are worshiping many gods. We are not polytheistic. We are monotheistic. There's one God, But he has a lot of people. There's just something like, I guess you'd call it like the angels in the Christian theology. Right? Or in Buddhism, like bodhisattvas or something like that. Something like that. There's knowledge of demigods in practically every single religion. So those in the mode of goodness worship the demigods. And those in the mode of passion, who do they worship? Nobody knows. Bill Gates? What?
George
Bush. No. Not quite. They worship, let's say, people with less than desirable tendencies, who we may call demons. That means people who are destructive by nature. We're not going to give the names of any of those people. Destructive and hurt people. Mussolini, Hitler, all those people in the past. I don't want to mention anybody at present. Okay. And those in the mode of ignorance, who is the focus, or what is the focus of their worship?
Ghosts
and spirits. And now we're talking about things like voodoo. What is that? Shantanzaria or something? How do you pronounce that? Shantanzaria. Just like we had a temple in Miami many, many years ago, and the neighbors wanted to get rid of us. So instead of going to the local zoning or planning board, what do? Does anyone know? They put chickens without their heads. They cut the heads of the chickens off and put them all around the property. And then we moved to Miami Beach. So these are the true story. It worked. So sometimes, yes, this worship actually has some power sometimes. But if we are situated transcendentally, it has no power over us. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to worry about being cursed. We don't have to worry about ghosts, spirits, because any time we chant the Lord's holy names, guess what happens to the ghosts and spirits? They go away. They leave us alone. You don't have to worry. Just go, Hare Krishna, and the ghost is gone. Or praise the Lord, and the ghost is gone. Okay? So, and then, a little further, then what austerities are performed by those in different modes? Because one may have an object of faith in the mode of goodness, but do austerities in the mode of ignorance. It's very interesting, isn't it? So everything's a little mixed in this world. It's not just that one's in goodness and faith, one's in goodness and austerities. No, it doesn't work like that. So austerities in the mode of goodness. What is that? No. Austerity, there are three types of austerities in the mode of goodness. The mind, body, and words. I'm going to go quickly because this is a little requires us to be Bhagavad Gita scholars. In the mind, austerities in the mind are serenity, simplicity, like that. In austerities in the body are offering respects to who? Superiors like parents and worshipful personalities. And austerity in the words is what? Speaking pleasingly, truthfully, beneficially, and regularly reciting the Vedic literatures. So these are the austerities in goodness. Okay, and these we desire these austerities in goodness. Even as devotees, we should do that. So austerities and passion, what happens with the austerities and passion? One does austerities because they want position, honor, money. So it's like some of you may know people who wake up early at 2 o'clock in the morning to make money, right? I know people who stay awake all night long and invest in the stock market. They're just on their computer all night long. I know people who sit in their stockbroker's office all day long just looking at what? The ticker tape. Isn't that an austerity? If I tell you just sit there and watch this tape with all these strange figures go by for 8 hours a day, but they do that out of passion. And in ignorance, one executes austerities for what? Self-torture. They hurt themselves. It's a demoniac type of activity. Did any of you ever see this movie called The Da Vinci Code? Any of you? Did you remember the person in The Da Vinci Code? What was he doing? He was self-flagellation. He was whipping himself, tying himself up. Finally killed himself. But so that's austerity in ignorance. Even if one has an object of faith in goodness, one can do austerity in ignorance. Interesting, isn't it? Quite interesting. Just like in the Vedic literatures, there's a nice story of someone who was worshipping the demigods, but he did an austerity in ignorance. What was his austerity? His name was Vrikasura. He was cutting off his flesh to worship the demigods, Lord Shiva, and he was gradually offering one piece of flesh after another. Swaha, 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 or Shivaya Namaha. And then what happened? Lord Shiva didn't appear, so he got ready to offer his head. I don't know how you cut your head off and you offer it in a fire later on. I have not figured that out yet. Just like our spiritual master Srila Prabhupada said, that he had a teacher, and all you teachers should learn this trick. And the teacher would say, unless you behave, I'm going to cut your head off so you can, you know, put it in front of the class, everyone can see it, and you can see it. I don't know how that could be done. Anyway, so those are austerities in different modes, and objects of faith in different modes. We're going to go a little quickly. And in addition to that, there's charity in different modes of nature. Charity in the mode of goodness is what? Anybody have any ideas? Given to the proper person at the proper time, place, circumstance, and without any desire for what? Remuneration, getting anything back. Now generally when we give charity, we want something from someone else. Right? You give it to them, we think, oh, I scratch your back, you scratch my back. And passion, again, is what? It's very easy. We want some, what? Benefit from it. We want our name, just like people will donate to the new temple. And their name will be on a plaque. Right? We had one temple once, we were building a new temple, or we actually collecting for the Singhasana. Singhasana is what you see the deities standing in. And the person wanted his name in big letters, as big as the Singhasana is tall, right under the deities. This Singhasana donated by so-and-so and so-and-so and his family. So that was pretty interesting. Bigger than the Radha Lokananda's son. So that's charity and passion. And charity and ignorance is what? Wrong place, wrong time, unworthy person, and no attention, no respect. So see, these three modes influence all these different aspects of belief systems or faith systems. I'm reiterating, not only the object of faith, but the methodology by which the person approaches the object of faith. And then finally, the last one is sacrifice. We did austerity and charity and sacrifice. And sacrifice is the same thing. We don't have to go through the whole thing. Goodness is duty, passion is material benefit, and ignorance is particularly interesting for me. No scripture, no prasadam, no chanting of hymns, no donations to the sannyasis. And that's what it says in the Gita. I'm not just making this up. I'm just quoting the Gita. No, it's no donations to the Brahmanas is what it says. So sannyasi is considered the guru of all the Brahmanas, just to let you know. So, and no faith in the Supreme. So those are the things. Okay. Okay, so then we're finished with all the three mode of nature stuff. So, obviously, if one has just faith in material things and no faith in the Supreme, then there's a big problem. If you just have faith in the demigods, the most that can happen is you go where? To the demigods. doesn't worship the demigods, go to the demigods. And what happens when you go to the demigods? You enjoy the demigods, they fly around on their angel wings, right? They don't need wings. They have their consorts, they live for a very long time, everyone's beautiful, no one smells bad, it's ecstatic, no air conditioning, no hurricanes, tornadoes, anything like that. You don't have to, just like today I was on the internet looking at this tornado, a hurricane that's coming, not here, coming somewhere else, I'm getting nervous. No, none of those problems are there. None of those problems are there in the heavenly planets. But there's one big problem, there's several big problems, but one big problem is what?
Yeah.
You have to leave there eventually when your good karma runs out. Just like if you go to Hawaii. Hawaii is like heaven, right? Anyone here been to Hawaii? Yeah. Mandakini's been to Hawaii. She was enjoying like anything there when she was there. That's why she left. Anyway, so Hawaii is like heaven. But let's say you go to a hotel in Waikiki, that's the main beach area in Honolulu. And you're just enjoying like anything. So what happens when your credit card's limit is exceeded? Even though they're treating you so well in that hotel, right? I mean, all the different people there, they're carrying your luggage. Oh, Mr. Swami, you know. Oh, yes, here's your meal. Oh, whatever you want. Well, your wish is our desire. It's just like Aladdin's lamp there. Then what happens when your credit limit is exceeded? Get the hell out of here. Right? Doesn't it happen? I mean, are they going to let you stay because of their charitable disposition? I doubt it, right? They say, you know, go back to North Carolina. That's what the Bhagavad Gita says. When your good credit runs out or good karma runs out, Marchu Lokam Vishanti. So you're up in the heavenly planets enjoying watching the dancing girls or being one of the dancing girls, depending on your position. Your good karma runs out, your garland starts to fade. Uh-oh, it's already done. And next thing you know, back to earth. And then you just wake up in the hospital, Durham General Hospital. And you're just remembering, you know, oh, there I was flying. You ever had some dreams like flying through the air, being real happy? I was doing all those things, you know, in past life. Wow, I was so happy. How did I end up here, you know? Dirty diapers, you know, this is just ridiculous. So, that's the problem with going to the heavenly planets, you know, real big problem. So even if you go to worship the demigods, you go to the heavenly planets, and of course if you worship the demons, you know, just there's more problems with that. Or you, it's a mixed thing. You know, you take birth on, in the mode of passion, you take birth on earth in a very passionate way, always worried about things, always in anxiety. And in the mode of ignorance, you take birth, what? In lower species of life. Like you wake up the next lifetime and your mother, any of you seen this film called Fluke? No, none of you have seen it. It's about a man who was born as a dog in his next life. And he woke up and his mother was licking him with her big tongue. So that's it. You woke. Oh, isn't that cute? So, I heard someone say that. So anyway, so there, your mother is licking you. Or, you wake up as a bee in a beehive. Or you wake up as, how else could you wake up? What? Cockroach. Yeah, oh yeah. There's a Franz Kafka, he wrote a book called Metamorphosis. Anyone's read that book? And about this nice young man who woke up as a cockroach the next morning. And his family didn't want anything to do with him because he smelled real bad. It's a famous book. And then he finally died because they wouldn't take care of him. I forgot what they did with him. Did they burn him at the end or throw him out? I forget how the book... The book did not have a happy ending. So that's the problem with all these different modes of nature, worshiping in the different modes of nature, because you don't get very good results. So we need to develop faith in transcendental things rather than faith in material things, because faith in material things, as Krishna states in the Gita, that faith in material things gives us repeated birth and death in this world. That's in the ninth chapter, text 3 of the Gita. And I'll give quote the Sanskrit. Ashradana purusha dharma shasha parantapa prapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. And that means those who don't have faith in transcendental things, then ashradana purusha, those persons, dharma shasha parantapa, and Krishna is addressing Arjuna. He's calling Arjuna mighty armed one, trying to encourage him, you know, you take charge of your life. Why would you call someone almighty armed one, oh powerful one? Because you want him to just, you know, take charge, you know, don't be a wimp, either spiritually or materially. Prapyamam nivartante, they cannot go back to Krishna, the spiritual realm. Amrityu samsara vartmani, and they continue in the chain of repeated birth and death in this material world. And then two other verses very interesting in that regard. In the fourth chapter, text 40, Krishna says, the doubting soul doesn't even get happiness in this world. Those who doubt in spiritual things don't even get spiritual, material happiness, what to speak of spiritual happiness. Because material happiness is based upon sukham, dukkham, bhoga, tyaga. In other words, sometimes there's happiness, sometimes there's distress. And when you're happy, you're worried about the distress that's just around the corner. At least you should be. Isn't it? You're very happy, like in the heavenly planets, you're worried about getting kicked out. Or you're very happy thinking, but then you're just worried about the mobile phone ringing. You're happy giving class and someone's mobile phone goes off. But anyway, so you're happy with your family and you're worried all the time. Are they getting sick? Isn't it? That's family life, isn't it? You worry about your family getting sick, you hear about this person getting cancer, you're going to the doctor. After a certain age, you've got to go to the doctor and have him examine practically every orifice in your body to make sure there's no cancer growing. You know, I went to the doctor, what was it, about a year ago, the doctor said, we have to put this long tube up you. And I said, no, thank you. So, I mean, it's continual anxiety. So you can't get happiness in this world or in the next, and everything is temporary in this world. And Krishna also says in the 17th chapter, text 28, that anything done without faith in the Supreme yields impermanent results, which he considers to be useless. Okay? So, but there's an interesting type of personality who's sort of like in between spiritual and material personalities, because some people, they have faith in spirituality, but they can't have faith, or they don't have faith in the personal existence of God. They have faith that there's something spiritual, something wonderful, the light, the energy. So Krishna gives them, there's a third position there. Krishna gives them faith in something called the Virat. Anyone's heard of the Virat before? The universal form. So people can have faith in the transcendental, let's say, personality and interactions, interpersonal interactions in the spiritual world, and they really don't want anything to do with this material world. They no longer have faith in the material world. Krishna gives them sort of an in-between position. Now that in-between position is kind of cool. Why? Because ultimately Krishna will help them come to a higher spiritual understanding. Krishna states this in the Gita. Very interesting subject matter. Okay. So now we touched upon the different types of faith, the futility of material faith in material objects or material mode of nature, austerities, penances, charity, etc. Now we're going to talk about transcendental or Krishna conscious faith. So as we mentioned before, giving an overall definition of faith, faith means to believe that by doing something all of your goals are accomplished. You know, that's intense faith, whether it's material or spiritual. So applied to spirituality or Krishna consciousness, it means simply doing what Krishna says, everything becomes accomplished. You're happy. I mean, what do you want? What are your needs? You have a need for happiness, right? A need for joy? A need for eternal life? Does anyone want to die here? If anyone raises your hand, I send you to our psychiatrist back here. Jai Shri is there. If you want to die, see her. She can prescribe some nice medicine so you don't want to die. So no, we want to live. We want to be full of knowledge. I mean, does anyone want to get old and have Alzheimer's disease? Any volunteers? No. Right? We want full knowledge and we want to be happy. Eternity, bliss, and knowledge. And this is our objective. So simply by doing what Krishna says, and of course what Krishna says is a lot more than just chanting Hare Krishna. I mean, it means being responsible in this world, carrying out, doing your duty, there's Varnashram Dharma. It's a lot of things that Krishna says. Krishna doesn't speak just one or two words. You know, Krishna doesn't just say, surrender unto me. He gives you knowledge. He doesn't want, and Krishna doesn't even want blind faith. Actually, blind faith does not elevate oneself. This is a statement given by Srila Prabhupada, that one has blind faith, even in something good like Krishna, one does not become elevated. Because faith must, because one can become cheated with simple blind faith, misled even in the name of religion, Krishna consciousness, yoga. One will be performing things ritualistically, which is the cause of downfall in spiritual life. So Srila Prabhupada says that blind faith does not elevate one, but faith must be considered with intelligence and good association. In other words, just don't believe in something because I say it, believe in it, understanding the principles of what we call epistemology. Epistemology means, why do you know, or why do you believe in what you believe in? We can explain why you should believe what Krishna says. Not just because it's there. Not because your grandmother told you. Or not just because I told you. We can explain. We can quote from Krishna's direct words. That's our epistemology. It's called the descending process. So faith in Krishna means, to reiterate, to accept whatever Krishna says. If you do it with full faith, then everything will be accomplished. And in the Gita, it's interesting, in the 8th chapter, text 28, the same thing is said by Krishna again. And I'll quote from this. The person who accepts the path of devotional service is not bereft of the results derived from studying the Vedas, performing sacrifices, undergoing austerities, giving charity, or pursuing philosophical or fruitive activities. Simply by performing devotional service, he attains all of these. And the fringe benefit is, at the end, he reaches the supreme eternal abode. Pretty nice, isn't it? You get everything. You get material happiness, you get your cake, and you get to eat it too. In Krishna consciousness. You're happy in this world, and happy in the next. Any other process, you're not happy in this world, and you ain't happy in the next. That's for sure. In the Gita, in the 6th chapter, text 47, Krishna says, one who actually has great faith worships him with great attention. And in the 12th chapter of the Gita is a very interesting statement, text 2, that Krishna considers that the most perfect person is the person who worships Krishna with transcendental faith, and Krishna defines that transcendental faith as being fixed on his transcendental form. And then some other verses for you. Okay, 3 more verses I'm just going to throw at you that are interesting. In the 6th chapter, Krishna says one must engage in yoga with undeviating determination and faith. In the 12th chapter, Krishna says one who has faith is very, very dear to him. And in the 9th chapter, Srila Prabhupada explains that after hearing the Gita, faith is demonstrated by one who gives up all other engagements other than serving Krishna. That doesn't mean that everybody takes sannyas from me. Read the Gita. All right, read the Gita, Maharaj, give me sannyas. It means that one follows the social system that Krishna has given and the Varnashram system that Krishna has given. And above all, one follows the Bhakti Yoga system, the Sadhana Bhakti Yoga system. That's the main thing. One can integrate the Sadhana Bhakti Yoga system into their lives, practically whatever they're doing, except for someone who's a butcher. You can't integrate that into your life. If you're a butcher or engaged in activities that are very cruel to other living entities. But practically speaking, anyone else can integrate sadhana bhakti. And if you do that, don't have to change your position. You don't have to give up your job. You don't have to give up your family. You don't have to change your ashram. If you do that, you can achieve perfection. That's what it means to have faith. Okay. So now I'm going to ask for some examples. Those of you who understand and know the Vedic literatures, what are some scriptural examples of those who had full faith in Krishna and took shelter of Krishna completely and were protected and maintained by Krishna because they had that full faith? What? Draupadi, great. Okay, let's get right down Draupadi. Draupadi, very interesting example. Draupadi was in the assembly house of the Kurus and they were attempting to dishonor her by disrobing her. And what she was doing first, it's a perfect example of full faith. Thank you for giving that example. She was fighting with these big men. Fighting, holding her sari, they were attempting to take it off. And after a while, she figured out she couldn't fight with them anymore because they were stronger than her. Particularly this Dushasana, he was a big rogue. And she threw up her hands and said, "Oh, Krishna, Govinda, save me." And what did Krishna do? Does anyone know? Unlimited sari, not dhoti. Don't try that with me. So, Draupadi, perfect example. Okay, any other examples? What? Who? Queen Kunti. Yeah, Queen Kunti was, her family was attacked in so many ways by the Kauravas, and her family was protected all the time. Did I hear Prahlad Maharaj someone say too? Prahlad Maharaj, his father was attempting to kill him in so many ways, and he took shelter of Krishna. Sudama Brahmana. Narada Muni had full faith in the sages. He was only 5 years old. He had full faith in the sages, became a completely pure devotee. Any other examples of people? Gajendra. Yeah, Gajendra remembered his prayers. He was being attacked by the crocodile, and what happened? Krishna came and did a mouthectomy on the crocodile. Who? Dhruva Maharaj. Look at all these nice examples. Srila Prabhupada, great. I love that example. Srila Prabhupada came to the United States with roughly $10 worth of rupees in his pocket and some cases of books. And look what happened. He had so much faith, he pictured 108 temples. Imagine how much faith he had. He said to people in New York in the beginning, "There are 108 temples, there are books that have been published, only time separates us." I mean, that's real faith. And, okay, just one more. I wanted to give this my favorite. That Krishna advised the residents of Vrindavan not to worship who? Indra. Because they had faith in Indra, the demigods. Some of you may have faith in the demigods, we're not trying to dissuade you from that. Or maybe we are. And so Krishna wanted to get Indra angry so he could show that having faith and trusting him was superior to having faith and trusting in Indra. What happened? Indra did get angry, right? What did he do? He sent rain, a hurricane. Category 5? Category 10. Category 10. Nobody's ever experienced a Category 10 hurricane yet, right? And then Krishna just did what? He picked up a little hill. A big hill. Here he is. That's faith. Okay? That's faith. At the same time, we don't want to do anything crazy in the name of faith, like say, jump off this building and say, "Oh, I have faith Krishna will take care of me." Because Krishna also saved us by giving us a good brain to tell us not to jump off the building. There's a famous story that Prabhupada told that one time there was a man who had faith in God. God would always protect him. There was a big flood, big hurricane. The water was rising. A person came to pick him up with a boat. He said, "No, God will protect me." A person came with a helicopter when he was standing on the roof and he said, "No, God will protect me." He drowned, went back to God, said, "God, why didn't you protect me?" And God said, "You fool, you didn't see the helicopter and boat that I sent." So it means using your brain too. Don't test God. But if you simply serve God, everything will be accomplished. So these are some interesting stories. And pure faith There's pure faith and mixed faith also with devotees. If one has pure faith, that faith is faith that always maintains and sustains one in spiritual life, and one never deviates. As far as devotees are concerned, or people devoted to God, there are three types. There are neophytes, there are middle class, Majjhima, and Uttama. And the two higher classes have full faith. What differentiates the middle from the higher is the higher has full knowledge. And the second class doesn't have full knowledge or full knowledge of the scriptures yet. But the one who is a neophyte, that's called Kanishta, because their faith is not very strong, they deviate or they can leave spiritual life. Okay? Okay. So now we touched upon that pure faith in Krishna consciousness. We're almost finished. And so, what's the benefit of having faith? You want to go to another one? What's, anybody think of the benefit of having pure faith, 100% faith in Krishna? What? Confidence, yeah, confidence. Freedom from fear, that's really a good one. And I wanted to talk about that, well, since you mentioned it, that you get independence. Prabhupada said, real independence means complete faith in the mercy of the Lord without dependence on the conditions of matter. In other words, you're not fearful anymore. Like a sannyasi, for example, that's one of the things that a sannyasi has to learn when they take sannyas or shortly thereafter. Krishna talks about it in the Gita. He says, Abhayasattva samshuddhi jnana yoga vasati. Yes, but free of fear because of the cultivation of knowledge and freedom from fear. This is a really important thing that one gets. One gets real independence. Why don't you put down independence too? Because one becomes really independent, just like today is the Independence Day in India, right? Now, India is independent politically from Great Britain. Am I right or wrong? But culturally, have we become independent from Great Britain? No? There's still tea time, right? Even if you're driving in a cab and you're in a hurry to get to the airport, what happens? If it's tea time, it doesn't matter. Does that come from India? No, that comes from the UK. And the whole court system comes from the UK and everything comes from the UK. So even though there's political independence, there's not absolute independence. That's the point I'm making. Independence has an end there.
Oh, yeah.
We're not in the South. E-dependence. Or I-dependent. Is that Freudian slip? I-dependent. No, I am independent but dependent on Krishna. Okay. So one gets real independence, independence. And what are the benefits are there from having full pure faith?
Knowledge.
Wow, cool. Knowledge. What else?
Bliss,
happiness. I'll give you a hint. What happens at the time of death? What happens at the time of death if you have full faith? Does anyone know? You see the Yamadutas and you... What? Listen, you go back to Godhead. You go back to the spiritual world. Don't have to take birth again in this material world. Another one is you become peaceful. Okay, peacefulness. Everyone wants to be peaceful. Om Shanti, 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 Shanti. It works better than shh. Isn't it? So you actually get shanti. And Krishna says that, Krishna talks about that in the Gita too. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarvalokvesham suvidam sarvabhutam gyatmam shanti richati. One who understands this and has faith in that, he says, comes to the platform of shanti. So in the fourth chapter, talks about how you get knowledge. Just connecting all these with different verses in the Gita, 4th chapter, text 39. In the 1840, in the Gita it says he goes back to Godhead. And in chapter 4, text 9, famous text, Janma karma cha me devya me evam yo viti tatvataha chakva deham puna janma naiti mam eti sojana. One who actually knows about Krishna in faith gets what? Goes back to Godhead. Same thing. Okay. So, finally, how do we get that full faith? Is it sold in Walmart? No? Yeah. Okay, write down. Really give you a good exercise here. That's why I couldn't do this. Association of devotees. And what's another way we can get full faith? What? Devotional service. What? Hearing, yes, hearing is very important. What's that, Chaitanya? Yeah. Chanting the holy name. That involves, with the ninth chapter of the Gita says, Pachaksha Vagamam Dharmyam Shushakam Kartamabhyam. Because by chanting you get the results, right? Krishna says in the Gita, everybody know this verse? Raja Vijarajitunyam Pavitram Idamuttamam Pachaksha Vagamam Dharmyam Shushakam Kartamabhyam. This is the king of all knowledge, most secret of all secrets, because it gives direct perception of the self by realization. So when you chant, you experience something. What do you experience when you chant? Does anyone know? Sleepiness? Peace, yeah. Peace, happiness, relief from material distress, beginning of auspiciousness, things that are mentioned. Isn't it? These are some of the things, you know, that we get from chanting. And of course, ultimately, we get what? From faith. Does anyone know? We get pure love of Krishna. Because faith is the first step in achieving pure love of Krishna. And I'll give you the different steps, if you can write fast enough. Krishna. The different steps are faith. What's the next step? Ado, Shraddha, Tata. Associating with the devotees. Sadhu Sangota, Bhajana Kriya. Performing the same activities that the spiritualists are performing. Bhajana Kriya. Or is spiritual activities, practice. And by performing those spiritual activities, what happens? Next step. All the unwanted things go away, like your mother-in-law. And no, I'm sorry. I just threw that out. But to keep everybody awake, you know. Unwanted things means lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy—all those things that are really keeping us from being happy. So, one of the things disappear. Narjan the Vritti shot, and then what happens after that? You become stable and steady in spiritual life. You're no longer like up and down. Today I'm feeling great. Tomorrow I felt lousy yesterday. Tomorrow I'll feel good again. You know, whatever. Does anyone have that experience of, you know, the dips and the curves in spiritual life? I may get letters every day, email letters. Dear Gurudev, I am feeling lousy. Please tell me what to do. And don't tell me to chant either. Tell me something practical. And then I just tell them, go do some lap yoga, laugh for 15 minutes a day, and you feel a little better. So, okay, steadiness, stable. What happens after that? Ruchi, which means you get a real taste. You become so happy doing spiritual activities. It's unbelievable. You begin to faint in ecstasy. Has anyone ever been so happy that they fainted in ecstasy? Tears came from their eyes. Like, I've seen a lot of people with tears coming from their eyes, like torrents of rain. That's why we keep tissues here in the temple. And in my house, I have like at least 20 boxes of tissues when I talk to people. So tears come from their eyes like torrents of rain. Hairs stand on end. Like that. Sometimes I mention, that's why the ladies in Krishna consciousness, they should tie their hair. And the men, they should shave their head or keep it short. because we don't need any of those punk haircuts. So, hair stands on end, right? Ashutaranga Bhaja, quivering in the body and the spiritual trance. That is a taste. You get a taste. Ruchi. You really like the kirtan. And what happens after ruchi? What? Attachment, asakti. One becomes very attached to Krishna. Attached to the Namaguna Rupa Lila, that is the what, name, form, quality, pastimes of the Lord. And what happens after that? Bhava, you get more ecstasy. Wow. You get emotions, spiritual emotions. And after Bhava, you get prema, which is the final stage. So all that comes from faith. Faith is actually the foundation of all those things. So this is the importance of developing spiritual faith. You get all these things and more. We don't have time to go over more of the benefits of developing faith, but these are some of them. I think that's enough. Going back to home, back to Godhead, becoming pure, all these benefits, and we get it from associating with the devotees, following these steps, chanting, hearing, especially hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, as described. So, okay? We had a further section of this, but we won't have time today to do it, because I was going to go over to another exercise, how does Krishna consciousness manifest in terms of faith in the holy name, spiritual master, Vedic literature's process of devotional service and prasadam, but it's time for prasadam, so it would be inappropriate for me to talk about developing faith in prasadam when everybody is hungry and ready to take prasadam. So maybe we'll do that next week or future time. So any questions or comments about any of these points? So we really touched upon, you know, did a, what do they say in French, a tour de force. Is that how you say it? There's our friend, French lady there. Tour, is that how you pronounce it? Wow, thank you. Tour de force. on faith today. So any questions about faith, problems, doubting, souls? No? Thank you. We want to thank everybody for listening so nicely. And I enjoy this very much, going over all these different aspects of faith and how to attain faith and the benefits of faith. So now it's time for faith and prasadam. All the way to